Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. The Kirsch Bridge today was attacked by an 1,100 kilogram explosive drone. Drove right up underneath the bridge, swam, I guess, and ended up detonating. So why is the bridge still standing? Because that's a lot of boom, boom. Well, I'm here to explain it to you. I'm a former Special Forces engineer sergeant. That is to say, I'm an expert in explosives. So kind of like my bread and butter. Now, this is the drone that is said to have conducted the attack. It's the Marichka. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. On average, they're about 6 meters long and pack a whopping 1,100 kilograms worth of explosives. That's a lot of boom, boom, ladies and gentlemen, a metric ton of boom, boom, to be floated up underneath the bridge and detonated. Further, when you end up detonating these things underwater, they end up causing, I don't want to say this, an effect that's called tamping, as long as you have good charge to target contact. Don't worry, I'm going to explain all of that to you coming up here in just a second. Now, before we get into why it wasn't effective, you got to understand how this bridge is actually constructed, and we're going to go over some images of the bridge as well. So, right here on the red, you guys see these little beams that are sticking down into the water. Those are actually called piles. Now, it is assessed that there is around 6 to 8 piles per each one of these smaller support structures. This little concrete block that's sitting on top, that's called a cap. So Ukraine had 2 potential targets to go after with this explosive device. And we're going to talk about the effects of each of them on there and why. Now, if they were going after the concrete cap, that's a much harder target. Here's why. This is a Google image, all right? It might be a little bit harder to take out, but this is in fact the Kerch Bridge, and this is one of the smaller support structures on this type of bridge. As you can see, here's the concrete cap as it sticks out of the water, and it measures about 10 meters, all right, at width. Okay, so its shallowest point is going to be about 10 meters. That's going to equate to about 30 feet, and that would be their overall breaching, all right, distance they have to overcome. Now, before anybody gets mad at me, this is the manual in which I ended up taking these calculations out of. This is FM3-34.214. It is basically the explosive Bible, okay? It ends up teaching you everything that you need to know, ends up bringing all sorts of different things into account. We're going to be using the formula P equals R3KC, for reinforced concrete in order to go over this, over 7 feet thick, obviously. I'm not going to go over the entire explosive formula with you because I don't think you guys really care to learn that much math. Trust me, it's boring as hell and you don't want to know it. So here is your calculations. I actually did this math for you over on my X account and ended up making a post on it, okay? Ultimately, what the calculation comes out to be is you need around 19,000 pounds worth of TNT in order to take that sucker out. And I already converted in an RE factor the likely explosive filler of an 1,100 kilogram warhead that would have been packed into that drone. That would have came out to approximately 3,226 pounds worth of TNT, or about 17% of the explosive force that would have been needed in order to actually have a full breach of that concrete cap in order to cause a collapse of that one section of the bridge. Okay, so breaching 30 foot of concrete, not exactly doable, and I could understand why, right? Because we need a breaching radius of at least 30 feet to make it happen. 1,100 kilograms just isn't going to get us there. Like I said, you need over 1,700 pounds worth of TNT, or excuse me, 17,000 pounds worth of TNT in order to make it happen. So that would mean the next likely target is going to be these piles that are underneath. Now, those are a little bit easier of a target, kind of. Let me go ahead and explain that to you, because it might sound like those are easier to go after, but they're really not. Now, those piles, all right, are not as thick as you might think they are. As a matter of fact, they're hollow in the middle, as you kind of see in this image right here. Now, this company that I have up here, Necro Skyline, ends up making these different types of piles for these bridges, as you can see here. Now, I did the research on the Kerch Bridge and ended up looking back, and what I ended up discovering is that those piles that they have underneath there, on average, are about 2 meters, all right, in diameter. So from end to end, they're about 2 meters long. Using this handy dandy reference guide of the steel pipe that this company ends up supplying for things like bridge construction, what we ended up determining is that those 2 meter in diameter, okay, piles are going to have approximately a 1 inch thick wall all the way around, just a little under actually, but we're going to round it up and just go with 1 inch. Now, I am more than aware, all right, when using more advanced charges, such as a ribbon cutting charge, you can use far less explosives in order to make this happen. However, that's not what Ukraine was going with. What Ukraine was going with is a big bulk charge underwater. And what's even worse when we look at it is it's about 6 meters long and about 1 meter wide. Okay. When you end up putting that on some sort of a graphical representation, it's going to look like this, all right? Here is approximately to scale how this is going to look on average underneath water. It is my understanding that those piles end up spreading out just slightly as they go underwater and then end up working their way up. However, on average, okay, you see here this black circle is going to be the pile, and then they are separated by about 6 meters on center as they go down. Now, you have about 2 meters wide, as I said, and this black line right here, that's not 1 inch thick, representative scale, just FYI. All right, anyways, as we look at it, it takes approximately, if you were going to knock this out underwater, about 350 pounds worth of TNT to be directed into that freaking blast wall in order to make it happen. And here becomes the issue. On this example, where we have, on average, all right, six piles being supported underneath that concrete cap, what you end up having is this drone that goes in between. Now, the most important part of calculating explosives and making sure it has good effects on target is actually charge to target contact. Now, this is amplified and it makes it even worse when you don't have good charge to target contact underwater. And here's why, because water does not compress. It's a liquid, right? So it's going to move back and forth. It's not going to compress. It's just going to simply be pushed around and be pushed around everything else that's over next to it. Now, when we take a look at this diagram, it becomes really obvious why it would be so hard to get good charge to target contact. One, because of the shape of the drone, all right, that's down at the bottom, and two, because of the shape of the actual target that's going up to. Also, what you'll end up noticing is that you have a huge distance in between the targets, okay? Right here, even if this sucker was like perfectly centered when it ended up detonating, it was slid right up against that sucker, you don't even have a full portion of that 1,100 kilograms that's actually in contact with the target, right? You have a lot of water. Now, in between the tip of here to here, what you're actually looking at is approximately, let's see, that'd be 4, 3 that comes out from the side. So this to here, this is 3. So that's 1, which would mean there's 2 meters here, which would mean there's 2 meters here before it ends up reaching it or in line. But it's going to be a vertical. I'm not going to do the A squared plus B squared equals C squared to tell you the exact distance, but you kind of get the idea, right? You got to cut several meters that are in between the tip of that sucker. Now, the next big portion of this where it comes into play is, where is the charge initiated from? I know this is going to blow your freaking minds, but even over in the Oklahoma City bombing, all right, where he had about 2,000 pounds worth of ammonium nitrate, he center primed it right there in the middle, and he didn't have enough in order to allow it to go off. At lower, he only ended up getting about 1,000 pounds going off. And depending on where the charge is placed, okay, the initiation system. So for example, if I'm over here where this black line is at, and I end up initiating this charge going in this direction, then my explosive waves are going to propagate into that target, and it's going to direct all of the explosives over into that target. However, this one, we'll just call it center primed for best case scenario for the sucker, because I doubt that they ended up priming on one side versus the other in order to direct more explosives. But then again, they could have, right? But just for the sake of staying safe, we're going to do that. And we're going to go ahead and divide this drone into thirds just to make our life a little bit easier, so we can determine how much explosives is actually in contact with the target. Now, when we take the overall weight of this sucker right here, this drone, and we divide it into thirds at 1,100 kilograms, quickly gets chopped down. Then again, you have to take that number and divide it in half, because only about half of the explosive force, because again, we're detonating at center here, is going to go outwards and towards that target. So what's that mean? Well, we have just about under 400 pounds worth of TNT equivalent that's going to be directed into that target. Now, that's good, because that means that this target can actually be defeated. Like I said earlier, it takes about 350 pounds worth of TNT in order to knock out one of these pillars underwater at that depth where it's at. About 350 pounds worth of TNT to completely knock it out. But the issue now comes into play with the other five pillars that it's surrounding. Simply put, the distance in between the charge and the other targets, that would be these other five pillars, is too great. It's going to end up dissipating too much energy before it gets there. Further, it's water. It's just being pushed around those pillars. And that dome, that circular shape that they're at, is actually very, very strong. That's why they end up building those suckers out of it. Now, that's not to say that they couldn't have been damaged after the detonation ended up occurring. They're going to end up having to send a diver down to the bottom of this sucker. Why do I think that this is one of the best case scenarios for how they ended up putting this drone? Because it is the only way that guarantees at least one of these pillars gets taken out. If you were to position this drone in any other way over in the middle, it is very unlikely that you would actually even take out one of these pillars. Now, I know 1,100 kilograms sounds like a lot, but when you actually understand explosives and how they work, turns out it's not that great. You actually need a heck of a lot more. You probably need at least five other drones in there in order to take that sucker out. So ladies and gentlemen, anybody that's telling you that the Kirsch Bridge is completely and totally destroyed after this is just flat out lying to you. And I'm not saying that because I hate Ukraine. I'm just telling you that based off math, physics, and explosive science and how everything works. I hope you guys enjoyed this explanation. I'll catch you guys tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, for another episode live of the Speak the Truth podcast here on YouTube. Peace, love, happiness. God bless. I'm out of here.